All right, this morning, Luke chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 will be our focus. After 400 years of silence, from Malachi to the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, 400 years of silence was broken. Luke takes us to that first instance when God breaks the silence by sending Gabriel to speak to Zacharias. Zacharias was a priest after the eighth order of Abijah. And you remember he was chosen by Lot to burn incense while the people were outside praying and waiting for him to come out and pronounce the priestly blessing upon them. And you also remember that while he was in burning incense on the altar, according to verse 13, when he saw the angel, he was terrified. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, because your petition was heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son to you, and you will call his name John, and he will be joy to you and exaltation, and many shall rejoice over his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and should drink never drink wine nor fermented drink, and will be filled of the Holy Spirit even from out of his mother's womb. And many of the sons of Israel he shall turn upon the Lord their God, and he himself shall go before him in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers upon the children and disobedient in the attitude of the righteous, and to prepare for the Lord a people who have been prepared." Now for today at verse 18. After the angel made this announcement that his wife Elizabeth will give birth to a son and that he would be in power and spirit of Elijah, that he's going to go before Israel and introduce Messiah to Israel, today we're going to study Zacharias' response, verses 18 through 22, and Elizabeth's response, verses 23 through 25. Reading verses 18 through 25, "And Zacharias said to the angel," here's the literal translation, "according to what shall I know this?" Some English texts say, "how shall I know this?" or "whereby shall I know this?" And in fact, some English texts match Zacharias' response with Mary's response, because she seemingly has the same response later. We will see in the next couple of weeks as the angel also visits Mary and tells her that she is going to conceive and bring forth Messiah. She also says, "how shall I know this?" But it's a different Greek. She's asking, how is this going to happen since I'm a virgin? Hers was not a question of doubt. Zacharias has a question of doubt. In verse 18, again he says, "according to what shall I know this?" Reason why he asked the question? "For I am old, and my wife has been advanced in her days." And when the angel answered, he said to him, "I am Gabriel, the one who has been standing before God. And I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you these things. And behold, you should be silent and not able to speak until which day these things should come to pass, because you have not believed my words, which will be fulfilled unto their season." Very important that you translate the word kairos, season, not time. Chronos is time, chronology. This is the season. There's a particular season, a particular time, epoch of history that God has chosen for this to take place. "So they will be fulfilled unto their season. And the people were expecting Zacharias and were marveling in his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was not able to speak to them. And they recognized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he was motioning, making signs to them. And he remained mute. And it came to pass that when the days of his priestly service were fulfilled, he went unto his house. And after these days Elizabeth conceived, that is, Elizabeth his wife. And she concealed herself. She did not hide herself. Crypto is the word for hide. But peri means to not only hide yourself, but to pull something over you. She was concealing herself for 5 months, saying that in this way the Lord has done to me in the days in which he looked upon me to remove my shame among men. Verses 18 through 22, the response of Zacharias. First of all, Zacharias and the angel, verses 18 through 20. Zacharias' response to the announcement of the angel is, according to what shall I know this? The reason he gives, because of the word gar in the text, for my wife is old and has advanced in her days. It is a very interesting statement because he's asking for proof. Give me a sign. What basis can I go on that what you're telling me is true, because the human situation and circumstance dictates that it's impossible? So God's word says one thing. Gabriel came with the announcement, and Zacharias said, not how are you going to do it, since my wife is old and we're unable to bear children. But he says, according to what? Those are just words. He's looking for proof that what Gabriel told him was the truth, and he's presenting the human situation. Because of the human dilemma, because the human circumstances dictate that what Gabriel said would not come true. Now, place yourself in the situation, because we're just like that. And it is interesting that we're also studying how God works in the lives of people. Even with Abraham in the Old Testament, God promised Abraham a son. Abraham waited, and he waited, and he waited. He even went out and claimed it. Took in Hagar, and went and had a relationship with Hagar in order to bear a son and had Ishmael. And he says, behold the promise of God. God says, no. If you produce it, it is not a promise. Only when God produces it is it by promise. When God promises to do something, he's going to do it. We can't do it. But Abraham got tired of waiting. But it was obvious as to why God took his time with Abraham. God took his time with Abraham until Abraham and Sarah were so old they couldn't bear children. It was impossible. And when God made the announcement, when he and the two angels were there in the tent with Abraham and said, this time next year your wife will bear a child, she was in the tent door listening to all of this. She started laughing. God says, why are you laughing? She says, oh, I don't laugh. But hers was not a laughter of unbelief. It was kind of interesting because Isaac, Isaac, means laughter. So, in the year's time, and she bears a child, they called him laughter. Every time they called his name, it was a reminder to her that she laughed. Not in unbelief, but just laughed. You know, that's just like the Lord, is to wait years and years and years until the human ability to do it is gone, so that all the glory and everything points to the Lord. We're missing something, folks. Especially with the new age, modern presentation of positive thinking and claiming the promises of God movement of today. God is the most powerful to us personally and through us personally when we're in the most difficult of situations. The Lord purposely puts us in difficult situation, so that he might manifest himself to us and through us, period. Not when we win the lotto. Not when everything's going our way. It's when everything's going against us. When there is no reason to put your faith in the Lord. When there is no hope. Our world situation is getting to a point where more and more there is no hope. I traveled last week, went down to Apple Valley, spent some time with people. And you can see them, you can see the stress of being concerned about being laid off, the impending war, what's going to happen to the economy, what's going to happen to the stock market, what's going to happen to the 401k plans. Stress. Yeah, we want Saddam Hussein out, but not at our expense, you know? We're stuck between a rock and a hard place with our feelings and outlook on the situation. I would not want to be a young person today just because there's going to be multiple wars. The stock market will not do well. God is going to begin to deal with people. There's a friend, a person we knew many years ago. He used to have a statement. He said to me, what the Bible is saying is, we see what you be made of. We think that we have to put on this glorious presentation in front of people. Look what a Christian's like. Always happy and always wealthy and just everything's perfect. We're putting it on. Because we can't admit to the truth. We can't say things are not okay. Things are tough. We have to put on this presentation for people. That's the positive thinking. That's the attraction. Look at me. I'm a Christian. And people can see through that because people who genuinely are seeking for the Lord are looking for a person who has it just as tough as they have, only they are at peace and they have an anchor point. They see right through all the phoniness. Life is not always happy. Life is hard and getting harder and more difficult. Where's the anchor? Where's the fortress? Where's the strength? Where's the peace? Where's the inner joy? Someone once said, being a Christian is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We're not better than anybody else. I look at my own life and watch life circumstances throw me around. And sometimes I ask the question, then why be a Christian if life is going to throw me around this way? And then I stop and realize, what would my life be if I was being thrown around like this without the Lord? I would really be in trouble. The reason Jesus Christ comes into a person's life is twofold. Number one, to save you. And number two, to be there with me, to be there with you when the tough situations hit. He knows they're going to come. It's not a matter of, Lord, why me? It's a matter of, Lord, thank you, because you saw these difficult times coming, and I couldn't make it without you. But see, we say, Lord, why didn't you just get rid of the circumstances? It's because it is the Lord's plan, the Lord's will, especially from Romans chapter 8, we know that God created everything to be unstable and to find no hope, and everything is going to be empty. Stock market, can't find your security. 401k plan, can't find your security. Your job, no security. God does not promise that we're going to make it. What about your health? That was a big conversational centerpiece the last few days where I went. What if you make it all the way through this earthly life? You got two, three people, or at least two people working to support this house and to support this vision of how this whole thing's going to come out so that we can get to retirement and be able to pay everything off and have everything set up. What about your health? We start dying the very day we're born. It's just that while we're dying, we're just stronger in different years and different phases of our life than others. But the old physical body starts giving out. Ill health. What if you make it all the way through? Everything works out for you. You've worked your whole life for this big security thing. And then you retire. The average number of years that not so much a labor worker, but people in the job fields, the average years that they live after retirement is 2 years. So you work your whole life. You get your whole system set up in order to retire, and as soon as you retire, within two years you die. What good did it do? Well, I left something for the family. A mess. Because now they got to take care of the house, and now they got to take care of all these things. They don't want to mess with it. Sell off the house. Sell off all these things. Now where's the security? The Lord has purposely made it so that we cannot be secure in this earthly life. And if we look to something for our security, He's going to let it fall right through. Zacharias is responding in just a normal way. How you and I think. According to what shall I know this? Because the Word of God contradicts human reality, human situation. God waited 400 years to the particular day, to the particular year, where Zacharias and Elizabeth were not able to bear children. On purpose. So that it would be all of God and all the glory would be of the Lord and not of man. In verse 19, the angel in response says three things. First of all, about himself. He says, I am Gabriel. Gabriel, the name means mighty man of God. Gaver has to do with warrior, and Ael has to do with God. Mighty man of God. Some commentaries say man of God because they just don't want to get into it. It means warrior. A warrior of God. So just by pronouncing his name, Gabriel, to him, I'm Gabriel. Oh, mighty warrior of God. That's who's talking to me. Secondly, he says, I am the one who has been standing. It's a perfect tense, participle. And Gabriel is saying that that is his normal position. He is God's right-hand angel. He's always before the throne of God. So this is not third-hand information that he's passing on, right? You don't say to Gabriel, prove it. So wait a minute here. I'm Gabriel, and I have been standing before the throne of God. Thirdly, I was sent to speak to you. He was sent to do two things. To speak to you and to announce these things to you. The word announce is the word for gospel in verb form. To announce the good news to you. Now in verse 20, there are two things that he had to say about Zacharias. So, first of all, I'm Gabriel. I'm the angel that has been standing before God. And I was sent to you to speak to you and to announce these things to you. But now for you. You will be silent and unable to speak. Now, you have to make the connection. What did he ask the angel? According to what shall I know this? Give me a sign. You will be silent and unable to speak, notice the second part of this, until which day these things should take place. time frame. Not that they might happen, but whenever they do happen, that is the time when you will no longer be silent and mute and unable to speak. So he's got a 9-month period now. You want a sign? You got it. Silent and unable to speak. The reason is twofold. Verse 20. Because you did not believe my words. Notice the second part, which lines up with the second part of the first part. Which will be fulfilled in their season. If I ever leave anything with you, in all of the times that we're together in the Word of God, if I ever leave anything with you, or if God's Spirit ever impresses anything upon you because of our time together, it's got to be this. Unbelief cannot stop the Word of God from being fulfilled. That is a false teaching of the New Age movement and positive thinking movement. The positive thinking movement says it can only happen if you confess it. If you confess you're sick, you'll get sick. If you confess you're healing, you're going to get healed, even though you're still sick. It's a mind game. You cannot stop the Word of God from being fulfilled. Isaiah 55:11. God says, I will send my Word from out of my mouth, and it will accomplish the things in which I send it, and it will not return to me void, but it will fulfill all of my purposes. Maybe. Doesn't say maybe. Isaiah 55:11 is a great verse to tell us that God, by His Spirit, He sends out His Word, and it accomplishes all of God's purposes, and it never returns void. It always accomplishes the purposes for which God sends it. Even unbelief. If a person rejects the truth of the gospel, then God's purposes have been fulfilled. Point number two. Not only are we unable to stop the Word of God from being fulfilled because of our unbelief, we dictate to God what He must do to us to get us to conform to the truth of His Word. That is what we dictate. Zacharias did not believe the word that the angel brought. Gabriel says, I'm God's right-hand angel here. And you want proof? Hey, this is the Word of God. Because of your unbelief, you will be mute and unable to speak until the time which these things happen. But they will happen. His unbelief could not stop them. God's Spirit is fulfilling God's Word. We don't fulfill God's Word. God's Spirit fulfills God's Word. We dictate to God what He must do with us and in us to get us to conform to His Word. That's one of the big teachings of today that is wrong. To say that you cannot experience the truth of God's Word unless you confess it. When we call this the gospel, it's because God is saying, I'm going to put it in written form what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the information about all the things that I do. And I look at it and I read it and say, well, I don't believe that. God's going to do it anyway. He's letting us in, you know. Here, this explains to us, here's the instruction manual of how this thing works. He is already working. He's already doing this. But there will be. It's a promise. So could Zacharias' unbelief make them not happen? No. Verses 21 and 22, the people were outside praying, waiting, expectantly waiting for Zacharias. Verse 22, when he came out, they recognized that he had seen a vision in the temple. Because he was unable to speak, and he was motioning to them. They were waiting for the priestly blessing to happen, but he was mute. He remained mute, unable to speak. And they recognized, they came to the conclusion that he had seen a vision when he was in the temple. Yes, sir?
What was the part about the season? You mentioned that.
Yes. Kairos. Chronos has to do with chronology of time. Kairos has to do with a particular season. For instance, we say summer is a season. God had a particular time, a season, when this was going to be fulfilled. We don't know that it was exactly 9 months. Pregnancies don't exactly last 9 months. At that time, I don't know if they had the ability to know when the woman would conceive and when the birth date would be due. But whenever that season is, whenever that appointed time, would that be a good definition for it? Appointed time versus chronology of time. There was an appointed time which these things were going to happen. In verses 23 to 25, Elizabeth's response, verse 23, when Zacharias was through with his priestly service, he went home. And Elizabeth, according to verse 24, she conceived. The second thing happened, she concealed herself. She hid herself from everybody. She says, Zach, you got to go to the store. I'm not going out. She purposely hid herself, kept herself covered, so that no one would see her. The reason why, which is very interesting, verse 25 says, because in this way, the word so in the English text is the adverb this manner or this way. In this way the Lord has done to me. In other words, she's saying, because God has chosen to do this to me, to work in my life this way, when he looked upon me to remove my shame from amongst men. So basically she hid herself, because here is a woman who is advanced in her days. She's known as the barren one. And as you might have studied or heard about before, in those days when a woman was not able to bear children, it was a shame, it was a reproach amongst the people. But now all of a sudden, here's barren Elizabeth. She's now so advanced in her years and in her days, poor lady. Never had the chance to bear children, something wrong. And now all of a sudden she's pregnant. And because of the way in which God worked in her life, she conceals herself and hid herself until it was time. And I think that's interesting. God removed her shame, but the way in which he did it would cause even more of an attention getting towards her and the explanation from her. Sometimes when God works in his miraculous ways, sometimes you just can't tell people. They don't understand. Many times the Lord told the disciples, don't tell anybody who I am. Don't tell anybody what you saw. Don't tell anybody that I am Jesus the Christ. Why not, right? Keep it to yourselves. You save yourself a lot of trouble. You go try to tell people how the Lord's working in your life, and sometimes it just brings more of a hassle to you. She saw that the way that the Lord moved in her life necessitated that she hid herself, because it was a miraculous way and people would not understand. And how is she going to explain it? Again, God had not communicated for 400 years. God was now starting to move. The only two people now, people recognize it, but the only two people that have heard from God after a 400-year period is Zacharias and Elizabeth. up to this point. She hid herself. She wanted the miracle. She wanted the miracle man, the son that she was to bear for the very purposes of God, to be at the forefront. So she hid herself. For the way God moved in her life to take her shame and reproach from amongst men. Next time, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. Oh, what another lesson it is for us. As I said before earlier, I'll say it again because it's worth repeating. I cannot impress upon you more than what this text is saying. You cannot stop God's word from being fulfilled because God fulfills His word. We mess it up when we try, like Abraham. He created a big mess for himself by going into Hagar to bear a child. The Mideast situation now is Isaac fighting Ishmael and Ishmael fighting Isaac. The Arab nations came from Ishmael. Israel comes from Isaac. It's a big mess. God does not ask me, nor does He make me fulfill His word. He fulfills His word in me, and believe me, that's trouble enough. Because everything of my human being fights against God's purposes and God's truth and God's word. He deals with me on a daily basis, putting tremendous pressure, tremendous stress, tremendous correction, turning out to be tremendous transformation when He's through with His process. For me to be conformed to His word. For me to be, and I always put it this way, it might sound corny to you, but just I'm a conceptual learner, so I always realize that when you first come to know the Lord and you start out your walk with the Lord, you're like a motorboat. The wind is like the blowing and moving of God's Spirit. The wind can change directions. It can do anything that it wishes to do. It can work up the storm. It can bring the calm. It can whatever the wind wants to do. Right? If you have a motorboat, you can go against the wind. If you have a motorboat, you can go wherever you want to go. Right? What if you're a sailboat? That's what faith is. Faith is raising the sail and just letting the wind of the Spirit of God take you through the choppy waters, through the calm seas, in the direction that God has. Because we don't know. I have to trust that my circumstances and my situations, God is governing them. Because I don't know what way to go. I don't know what God wants me to do. So I have to be in submission to the Spirit of God that's taking my sailboat. And then every once in a while, even with the sail up, I crank up the motor. Because I'm going, wait a minute, we're heading for the rocks. Right? I've got to steer away from trouble. Maybe the Lord wants me on the rocks. Living by faith is trusting God and God's Spirit to work out His will and His word, His way in us. We're not little gods, people. The New Age movement of today teaches that we are like, see, as Jesus commanded, used the word, so we do the same thing. It makes us little gods. There's only one God. He asks us to trust Him with our life, with our circumstances. And they will be difficult. It'll be beyond human strength. It'll be unbearable. For one reason and one reason only. Because it takes the Spirit of God. For Him to manifest Himself to us and through us. So that other people see our struggle. Other people see the strength of the Lord. For His glory. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this hour, for this time. We thank you for your word, which expresses your truth. Lord, teach us to trust you. And yet, out of your faithfulness, you correct us and lead us down the path to teach us to trust you in the most difficult of situations. Because this is all about you. It's not all about us. You're changing us. You're ministering and manifesting yourself to us, and you're ministering and manifesting through us to other people. We pray a prayer of thanks, and just pray that you'd continue to move in our lives to cause us to be like that sailboat that just moves along, carried by your Spirit, according to your word, that we might be at peace because we know you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.